Allow them to hear only you and not me. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We honor you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's lift your Bibles up. Lift your Bibles. Lift your Bibles. Raise your Bibles in the air, whether it's a paper Bible, digital Bible. Repeat after me. The only way that I can keep my way pure is to guard it according to the Word. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word and plant it, which is able to save my soul. Praise God for his word. Thank you, God. Ooh, we can go home on that, right? Good morning. Welcome to the Marketplace Movement, where we reach, enhance, and advance lives. For those of you who don't know, I am not Bishop. Most of y'all know me, but some of y'all don't. I am not Bishop. I am Orlando, Elder Orlando. And Bishop is on another assignment, and we just pray for him, and we thank God for him. And we just going to continue to move on in the Word. All right, so we've been really focusing on our patterns and rediscovering the family. And this past week, really Wednesday, I would advise some of you who hadn't had a chance to check it out on YouTube, because Bishop was tap dancing on his Wednesday. And he was really talking about our patterns and saying we fail to be resilient and even reject the patterns because we don't know who we are rejecting. We reject what we don't know. He's been really trying to get our patterns together. And Wednesday he went in about, you know, if we don't really know what we're exchanging our patterns for, if we don't know who the exchange, we don't know the worth of what we're exchanging for, we'll reject it. And many of us, we thought that we knew who we were trying to set up our patterns for, but he made it very evident that if there's something more valuable and you have something in lower value and you refuse to exchange it, you really don't know the value of what you were trying to exchange it for. Because why would you hold on to something small when something greater is here? So we're going to continue on in that, and we're going to start in 1 Corinthians. We're trying to be resilient. We're trying to be steadfast in our patterns. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Abounding means to exceed a fixed number of measure, to be left over and above a certain number of measures. So we need to go above and beyond in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. So we're gonna slow walk this today. You know, one thing the Lord has been dealing with me about when it comes to presenting, because as you all know, I am not a fan of public speaking. And we sit here and we listen to Bishop, and it's like sometimes it can be very intimidating to stand up behind him, because we look at how people deliver. But one thing God has really been teaching me is when I call you to do something, I know your style before I call you. There's a lot of us who we don't want to do the things of God because we see how other people do it. And we fall in love with their style, and we know that's not who we are, so we don't feel like we'll be received because we don't do it like them. But God is saying, when I called you, I knew your style. Stop comparing yourself to other people and compare yourself to my standard. I don't call you to be somebody else. I call you to do what I said. We have to stop comparing. And it's funny because one of the main things about getting up here in my whole life of being in church, every person that's got up here to speak, they always get up here and sing. And I'm like, God, I'm not singing in front of these people. If they want to hear me sing, they're going to have to, like, you know, somehow be able to see my alone time with my daughter or, you know, catch me in the shower or something like that. But I'm not getting up here and singing. And I, last time when I had to preach a couple weeks ago, I told my wife, I said, when she was leading, I said, I need you to get me there because I'm not getting up there and singing. And I always tell Brittany the same thing. I need you to get me where we need to be because I'm not getting up there and singing. But God, I love God because God has a sense of humor and he understands that, you know, ain't singing. And every time I get up here, they get me right where I'm supposed to be. So we're supposed to be steadfast, unmovable. My mom, I remember at the old church, she used to sing a song with these words. And one of the hooks of the song was hang on in there. So I'm here to encourage y'all to hang on in there. It's going to get rough, but hang on in there. When you're doing these, when you're trying to follow these patterns, it's not always easy, but hang on in there. All right, to be steadfast means to be firm, strong, confident in the faith, in the view of the truth that you will be raised up. Be not shaken or agitated with the strifes, the temptations, and the cares of life. Be fixed in the faith. To be immovable also means to be fixed, stable, unmoved. We need to be planted in the word. We need to be planted in the truth. When Paul was teaching this, his concerns was the church of Corinth, they had a tendency to compromise their behavior because of the culture and the belief system that they were in. So when we're trying to be planted in the word, when we're trying to actually, you know, be steadfast, we can't sway based on what's going on in our culture. We live in a very corrupt culture right now. Like I said last time, there's things that's acceptable now that was not accepted not even 10 years ago. But we can't allow our environment, our culture, things that are becoming normal to sway our patterns. To always be abounding in the work of the Lord means engaging in doing the will of God and promoting his glory, advancing his kingdom. The phrase means not only to be engaged, but to be engaged diligently. To be engaged diligently, laboriously, excelling. The work of the Lord here means which the Lord is what the Lord requires you to do. The appropriate duties of a Christian. So most people always feel like the work is this right here. So you feel like if I'm not teaching, if I'm not preaching, that's the work. This is equipping you to do the work out there. So yeah, it's work for us, but it don't have to be your work. You don't have to get up here and do this. Well, we're teaching you here, apply that out there in life. So we are to stay the course no matter what. We can't let problems control our patterns. I'm gonna repeat this, hang in there. Many of us actually don't really have a problem remaining steadfast. I'm going to say it again because I'm going to let that sit there. Some of us, we don't have a problem remaining steadfast. We'll stay in horrible relationships, whether it's a romantic relationship or a friendship. We'll be steadfast in that relationship. We'll be steadfast in our mindsets, in our excuses. Some of us will hold an excuse for why we won't do better most of our lives. We'll hold an excuse. Many of us will be steadfast in our dislike of people. Some of us are steadfast in our dislike of people based off of what somebody else told us about that person. You don't even know them personally, but you heard something. So all of a sudden, you have a strong, steadfast dislike of a person based on something that somebody else said. We'll be steadfast in our unforgiveness. We'll be steadfast and unmovable in how we treat people. So my premise today is often we fail to remain steadfast in the patterns of God because we rather our flesh be comfortable. We want to be comfortable, or our flesh wants to be comfortable. So when our flesh wants to be comfortable, we'll choose comfort over the proper patterns of the Lord. All right, so we're going to go to Daniel 6. We're going to stay here for the whole day, pretty much. The whole morning, afternoon. I'm not going to be before y'all long. I'm for real this time. I said that last time, and I watched the tape. I was like, ooh, I was up there for a minute. I said I wasn't going to be up there that long. I was like, ooh, I didn't even get to finish my whole sermon last time. I had to do it in Wednesday. But often we fail to remain steadfast in our patterns because we rather our flesh be comfortable. Daniel 6, we're going to start with verse 1. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom. And over the three commissioners, and over them, three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them and that the king might not suffer loss. Stop right there. You can stay there. This is for some of my entrepreneurs in here. This is a good little, just one and two is good for you all. Sometimes you need to appoint people. When you're running something, you need to appoint people in places so that you don't have to do everything. You'll stress yourself out and you can't do what you're called to do because you're so tapped out on doing everything else. Appoint people so that you don't have to be the only one. You can't have the I, me, my complex. All right, come on, let's keep going. We're going to go. You have to appoint people. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. We're going to stop there. Write this down. In our secular environments, we should always stand out because who is in us? We need to stand out because we have an extraordinary spirit from the one who has given us the spirit. And most of us don't work in a church or a religious environment. We have a secular environment. I work at a daycare. My wife, she works at the library. We have to stand out because of God in us. We work as unto the Lord. So yeah, we may work in a secular environment, but we're not working for the secular environment. We're working for the Lord. So we should stand out. Everything about us should be different. It should be in a higher level. We shouldn't be the ones that go to work late. We shouldn't be the ones that they can't call on when it's time to actually get projects done. We shouldn't be the ones who they always like, oh yeah, they barely making it. If you have to reach a certain number, you should excel that number just because you have the Spirit of God in you. If you're going to act, and we have to work in excellence. We have to work. That should be who we are. They should see us, and they should be like, it's something about them. I may not know what it is, but they're always excelling. We know what it is. But some of us have been poor representatives of the Spirit in us, and we're worse than the world. We have to excel because of the Spirit in us. We shouldn't always be the ones that we're never there when we're supposed to be there. How do you want God to be to you in your life? We want God to be on time for the things that we need. But then when it's time for us to be on time for the thing, we don't be on time. We hold God to a different standard that we hold ourselves, but we have the spirit of him in us, so we should actually excel like he excelled. Like he said, be ye holy because I am holy. We should excel because we have that spirit in us. All right, let's go to 4. Then the commissioners and the satraps for y'all who don't understand, they're like governors. So the kingdom was split up. King Darius had split the kingdom. It was a huge empire. So he split it up and he appointed governors over different areas. And then over the governors, he had the commissioners. Daniel was actually ones who the governors reported to. So then the commissioners and the satraps, the other people who were in high appointment, began trying to find ground of accusations against Daniel in regard to the government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusations or evidence of corruption, inasmuch as he was faithful and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. How in our lives can this be said about us? In our jobs, are we trying to blend in or are we trying to stand out? Let's go to 5. Then these men said, we will not find any ground of accusations against this Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. Write this down. Our patterns should be so solid that accusations hold no weight. Our pattern should be so solid that accusations hold no weight. You will be persecuted for standing out. This is not the time to change your patterns. When you're in these secular environments, everybody there doesn't love God. A lot of those people there, they only think about themselves, like in a survivor mode. It's almost like the crab in the bucket mentality. If they see you ascending, they'll try to pull you down. But let them, when they try to bring things against you, let it not be true. Let it not be true. Like the scripture says, let these things not be named among you. There's going to be, whenever we're in these environments, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. When they see you rising, they're going to try to come against you. They're going to try to come against you. But you have to stand firm. You have to be steadfast. You have to be immovable in your patterns. And you have to allow God to fight your battles. God can't fight your battle if you're actually wrong. Too many of us, we are what they're accusing us of. And then we're calling on God to get us out. And God is like, no, change your patterns. Change your patterns. You want me to fix something that you got yourself into. No, do what I told you to do. When Jonah was in the belly of the fish because he decided to go against God, it wasn't until God had to deal with him and then he had to correct his patterns. God didn't just allow him to be free and then take him back to where he was at. No, we have to get to the point to where we're doing the things right. Then we can call on God to defend us. Our pattern should be so solid that accusations hold no weight. You will be persecuted. Once persecution arises, keep the same standards. Don't change your patterns because of the persecution. It's going to get uncomfortable. But don't allow the accusations to stop you from doing what the Lord has told you to do. Don't allow the accusations to stop you from living how the Lord told you to live. Now, if the persecutions and the accusations is coming and they're right, thank God for that too, because he's giving you an opportunity to see yourself and get it right. A lot of times we take stuff when we're wrong and people saying stuff about it, we get upset with them and we don't see that. Sometimes that's God's grace. Sometimes God's grace would allow you to see yourself from somebody else's perspective. Like David, It was Nathan that had to come to him and say, this is you. I mean, Nathan said told the whole story, and David still didn't see it. Some of us are so caught up in our mess that we can't even see ourselves when somebody is telling us about ourselves. But once you see yourself, thank God, get correct, and move on. Thank God. Thank God for the correction. Thank God for, because sometimes we forget God can easily take you out in your mess. God can easily take you out while you're wrong. But if he allows you to see yourself, then he allows you the opportunity to get correct, to get in the right path. Then you can move on. Some of us need to thank God because we haven't been the best at work. Some of us, we got our promotions because we manipulated the system. Some of us finagled our way to where we at. Some of us, we knew somebody. Some of us, we knew somebody too well. Some of us, we've done dirt with. So they, it's like we scratching each other's back. I'm going to look out for you. You look out for me. But God is like, no. If we look at Daniel, Daniel was perfect. Daniel was, he was blameless in his character. His character allowed him to be promoted. Let's go to, we're in six. So then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king, and they spoke to him as follows. King Darius, live forever. It's just like some of our coworkers. They try to get all buddy-buddy with the boss when they about to say something about us. They've been plotting, scheming. They get cool with the with your supervisor. You know, they start bringing them cookies and stuff, bringing coffee, trying to get super buddy-buddy just so that they can devise a plan against you. But the thing about this that we'll see, Daniel knew all this was going on. And he still remain faithful. Let's go to seven. All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials. So you got all these other big people planning against Daniel, all because he's rising because of his patterns. He's rising because he's staying steadfast. All these people are coming together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. They could have said 5 days. They already knew Daniel was going to continue because Daniel's patterns were so strong that the people around him, they saw, they knew. The people around Daniel knew that Daniel was going to continue to serve God. The people around, they already knew. That's why they're trying to get everybody together. What do the people around you think about you? What do the people around you, do they know if we bring this against them, they're not going to change? It's like sometimes people will come against us because they need us to act out of character to achieve what they want. They don't have nothing on us, but if we can get them to slip, if we can get them to fall, then we got them. Verse 8, O king, now O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Let's keep going. Therefore, King Darius signed the document that is the injunction. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house, now in the roof chamber. He had windows open towards Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God as he had done when? He continued as he done previously. All right, write this down. It is important to establish good patterns in times of peace. So when trials arise, we already have a standard. It's important to establish a good pattern to have your spiritual disciplines of praying, studying, reading the word, fasting, sacrifice. It's important to have all this down in times of peace. Nobody, when you get enlisted to the military, you go through basic training. You go through drills. You do all this so that in the times of war, you have something to rely on. It's too many of us. We're sitting here and we're living lackadaisical lives, and then when trials come, we don't even know how to pray because we never established that. I've noticed that when we first got married, we sit there and we used to pray together before we got married. Then we got married, we prayed together, and then slowly we just stopped praying together. We stopped. We got too comfortable. Then when trials hit, we was a mess. We had nothing to rely on. So it's like a lot of times we have to get to this place to where we allow our patterns to become the standard in our lives so that when trials actually hit, we know we go right back to the position of where we was during happy times. It's too many of us, we're getting hit and we fold, and then the true self comes out, and the true self is not what God wants. The true self is not the pattern of God. The true self is the pattern of the world, because that's the pattern that we allowed to be in our lives, that we allowed to be the example in our lives, and that we allowed to be the standard. But we need godly patterns and godly standards so that when life comes, we can rely on those godly patterns and godly standards. It is important to establish good patterns in times of peace, so when trials arise, we already have a standard. Daniel could have easily just stopped praying for 30 days. He could have easily stopped. Daniel could have easily just, I'm going to sneak and pray. I'm going to pray when I know they can't see. I'm going to go in the bathroom and pray. That's how some of us are. Some of the people around us don't even know we have a relationship with God. We have a secret relationship with God. Daniel could have easily just said, you know what? I'm going to wait this 30 days out. God, know my heart. But no, Daniel went and did exactly what he was doing. Some of us are still using that God, know my heart, as we continue to do wicked things that come from the heart. We need to quit playing with ourselves using these churchy statements and stuff. We just playing ourselves on the hill. God, know my heart. Yeah, your heart is wicked, is nasty. We can tell because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And we sitting here still claiming, God, know my heart. Let's go to verse 11. We be saying some of the dumbest things. And God just be like, poor little tank. We really sitting here, like, do we really know the magnitude? Yes, God knows our heart, and he know our heart ain't right. We really be sitting here like, you know, we got our friends convinced that I'm not this person. You know, our friends know they can kick it with us and do certain things with us, but they know, you know, we may talk to God here and there. But God is like, no, you got to be who you are all the time. That's who you are. Yo, you can't sit here and be, God was like, I'd rather you be hot or cold. We have made it cool to be lukewarm. We have a church life, a Bible study life, but then we have our regular lives on the weekends, you know, the Friday night, the Saturday night life. I remember when I used to, at my last church, people used to really come in and you would still see the stamp on, the little cross on their hand from the club. I'm like, man, you couldn't even take an alcohol pad and wipe that off? Like, but that's how some of us come to God. We still come to God the next morning, or we come to God on Sunday morning with Saturday night residue. And we act like just because it's Sunday, we got to be a certain way. No, God wants you to be the same way 24/7. That stamp is just as bad on your hand on Monday as it is on Sunday. Let's stop playing with God. God is, we really act like God isn't God. Like this is the one who said, let there be and there was out of nothing. We playing around. We acting like God is one of these, like a little kid or something, like we can just get over. We need to take God more serious. We need to take him serious. We need to take his word serious. We need to take the task that he has for us serious. Let's quit playing around with this. Verse 11, then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Then they approached and they spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true. The king is the king and didn't even know he was being, he didn't even know he was being played. Some of us are in positions where we see the bosses and we be like, how did they become the boss? But sometimes we're put in those situations so that they can see our character. You don't understand, sometimes God will place you in positions around people and you'll be like, why am I here? I don't even fit in. That's the point. You're not supposed to fit in. God is trying to show them something through you. So you can't be them. You can't be them. I used to drive party buses. And you see everything on a party bus. And it was something about every time I drove, the people, they were like, we just feel more safe. And I would get referral. Everybody, every time they wanted to ride again, they were like, we want Orlando again. And my boss used to be like, what is it? What are you doing? And I had to tell him straight up, I was like, this may be your company, but I'm not working for you. Yes. I'm not doing this for you. This is something that God has me doing right now because he's trying to do something in me. And if what he's doing for me and what he's allowing me to do right now affects the people that want to get on here, hey, that's what God want to do. Some of us, we need to allow God to do his thing in our lives so that people around us can see God for who God really is. Then they approached and they spoke before the king about the king's injunction. Did you not sign an injunction that any man who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days is to be cast into the lion's den? The king replied, the statement is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Then they answered and spoke before the king. Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the injunction which you sign, but keeps making his petition three times a day. So they came at him. He still didn't stop doing what he knew he was supposed to do. Then as soon as the king heard this statement, he was deeply distressed and set his mind on delivering Daniel. Even until sunset, he kept exerting himself to the rescue. Stop right there. Daniel's patterns and his character was so solid that the king wanted to rescue him. The king didn't want to lose David. David was an asset. Sometimes church folks can be some of the messiest people. Sometimes we can be some of the laziest people. Sometimes we can be the most undisciplined people. Sometimes it's like, they wouldn't care if we stopped working there. I'm just being for real. I mean, the daycare I work at, I've been there 20 years. We've had many, many, many church people came to work with us. Now, a lot of them still ain't there. A lot of them, they've been gone. because they some of the messiest people. But Daniel, when the king realized what was about to happen, he was deeply distressed. He didn't want to lose Daniel. It's like sometimes we have to make sure, are we being an asset or are we a liability? Let's go to 15. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Recognize, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians that no injunction or statute which the king establishes by change may be changed." Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you." When we walk, you can write this down, when we walk steadfast in our patterns of God, people will see the peace we have in turmoil, and it will cause them to believe. When we're walking steadfast in our patterns, people will see the peace that we have in turmoil. People will see, like right now, when the economy is up and down, and we don't know, you know, inflation is up one day, it's down one day. Jobs are laying off, jobs is hiring. There's turmoil all around. But do you have peace in the midst of this turmoil? Are you steadfast in your praying, your fasting, your studying? Are you steadfast in your patterns? And if you are, you should have peace during these times. The peace that we have will actually allow people to question why. People will ask you, how are you this stress-free when times is chaotic right now? It will open up opportunities for you to minister. It will open up opportunities for you to tell them about God. But if you're not steadfast and you acting just like they act in the times of turmoil, they don't know who to turn to. They're looking for someone to be different. And when the times is rough, that's the time where we should stand out the most. When times is hard, that's when we should really be about that life. People should see us when times is hard and be like, what y'all got? How come you not stressed out right now? But if we're screaming and crying and doing the same thing they are, who we all gonna call, what, Ghostbusters? Let's go to 17. A stone was brought and laid over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet rings of the nobles, so that nothing will be changed in regard to David. Sometimes God allows our situations to get to his worst so that the outcome will be undeniably him. But we must do our part. Sometimes he will allow the situation to become dead, so when it's resurrected, they'll be undeniably God. Some people know, some of you don't. My wife and I, we have been married for 12 years and have been trying to conceive. For a while, I wasn't trying. She was secretly trying to conceive. And I didn't know, but I wasn't doing nothing to stop it. She wanted a baby. I was just enjoying being married. She wanted a child. You know, but we got on one accord and we really wanted a baby. And we went to the doctor, and the doctor would say, "All right, you got this issue, you got this issue, just try this and come back in a few months. We'll try that." Nothing changed. We wanted to, and we got to the point to where we actually started to settle in our minds that, you know what, we'll be okay without having a kid. Because sometimes you'll be so discouraged that you'll settle for less than what God has for you. But then we had to start, we started encouraging each other. And we were like, no, children are a gift. Children are a gift. So we did another consultation, and then they brought up IVF. And IVF sounded good. We went through the consultation. They told us a price. We was like, ooh, we don't know. This is steep. This is above both of our pay grades. You know? Then we're like, okay, we're going to check with the insurance. We got good insurance. She works for the county. The county insurance, nope, we don't cover that. We will cover everything for them to tell you why you can't have a baby, but we won't cover what it takes to have the baby. So we could get discouraged, and we just start, you know, trusting. We had to tell, like, we just got to trust God. This is above both of us. Usually we'll be in a place to where I can go do some, you know, side jobs, cut some grass, you know, install some cameras or something like that. Boom, we had the money. I couldn't do that this time. I couldn't rely on my own self. I couldn't rely on my natural abilities. This was a supernatural thing. God had to take us to a place to where we couldn't rely on our own natural talents. And that's where God might have some of you right now, where you can't rely on your own natural abilities. So he's put you in a place to where when the outcome is presented, it's undeniably him. So we sitting there, and we're on vacation one day. And we down in Turks and Caicos. And just out the blue, I don't even remember having a conversation with my mom about the price. She hit me up. She said, hey, if y'all want to do IVF, I'll pay for it. She was like, just let me know the price. I'll write a check. And we just sitting there, and we shot it down. We was like, okay, God. And we didn't say nothing else about it. Because I'm in my head, I'm thinking, you know, if this is God, this opportunity, you're going to say it again. So we went a few months. She called me in her office one day. She said, my offer still remains. If y'all want to do this, I'll pay for it. So then I talked it over with my wife, and we had a back and forth conversation where she was like, well, if we do this, it's not trusting God, because we're trusting God to do it naturally. And then we talked some more, and I'm like, well, we have to get to a place to where we take God out of a box. Now, I've been talking to another couple the same way, where I'm like, we have to stop limiting how God can do things in our life. We're trying to control every single circumstance, and God is trying to get us to a place to where we just trust him. Instead of just trusting him to fix it, just trust him. Because the cures, the fixes is in him. So if I know I need this, I'm not just trusting for this, I'm just trusting him. And I had to tell her, like, even if we do this process, it's still not a guarantee that this baby will be alive. This is a long process. And then we got another monkey wrench. The procedure was a certain amount. Then we went, then it was like, well, now you got to buy this medicine. The procedure, we're going to say it was $13,000 for the procedure. That's just for them to do the procedure. The medicine that you need was an initial $12,000 that we didn't have. So not only did we was put in a position to where we couldn't afford the initial procedure, we couldn't afford the medicine that went with it. But then my dad was just like, hey, if y'all need it, I got y'all. Whatever it is, I got y'all. So then we're in the doctor, and then we're seeing nurses that's doing the procedure at the place where we're doing the procedure, and it's not working for them. So we're having all these consultations, and they're like, well, you know, it's only a 30% chance that it worked. 20 to 30%. So I'm like, you mean to tell me after $25,000, I'm only at a 20 to 30% chance? 20 to 30% chance after $25,000? And I'm like, so finally when they was telling me, I said, do you know what? We believe in God. I looked at my wife, I said, we believe in God, we believe in Jesus. This is going to work for us on the first time. So we kept going through the process. It was painful. It was uncomfortable. The discomfort didn't change the destination. Let's stop forfeiting the destination because we're in discomfort right now. It's going to hurt, but our patterns had to be locked. So we go through the process. They extract 24 eggs. And then they fertilize them all. 24 work. Then they call you back. Oh, it went down to 17 today. Then they call you back the next day. Oh, it went down to 12. They call you again. Oh, it went down to 10. Then they call you again. This is the final day that we can do this. It's down to 5. And we just be thinking, well, y'all said we got a 20 to 30% chance, but I still serve a God that can beat all y'all odds. My God isn't governed by the realm that we live in. Our God isn't governed by the science. Our God isn't governed by the restraints of medicine. So we go, we do the procedure, and they tell you to wait 10 days before you take a pregnancy test because they inject hormones in you that tricks your body into feeling like you're pregnant. By day 2, I started feeling woozy. I was like, I told Chris, I said, something ain't right. I said, because I don't get dizzy. Something done changed in the atmosphere. Because this is not me. I'm like, you know, I'm cool. You know, I'm outside all the time and I don't get dizzy. I don't get nauseous. And then a couple more days went on. I said, Chris, I am extremely nauseous. And she was like, well, I did take the test. We wasn't day 10. We was at like day 5. She said, I took the test and it showed up pregnant. And I'm like, are you serious? That's why I was nauseous then. She was like, but I still got to wait until we go back. I said, no. No. You pregnant. This was an undeniably God situation. I feel something inside of me that lets me know God has come through for us. I feel something different on the inside that's allowing me to see, no, God has prevailed. This was an undeniably God situation because there's been some changes inside. So God would allow our situations to look dead. And right when we feel like there's no hope, something on the inside changes from the patterns on the outside. Your patterns gotta be locked. We could have accepted every single bad report that they said. We could have accepted every single report from the other people that was doing the procedure. But no, we had to stand up and tell those doctors, like, we serve God. The results, we received the results, and then we would start going and we would see the ultrasound. And they would tell us, like, well, you still got to be cautious for so many weeks because your body has to accept it now. They still giving you all this medicine, So it's still not a normal pregnancy yet, because your body is being fooled into thinking that it's pregnant so that it can accept the baby. But I'm like, no, Chris, you're pregnant. Operate so. Operate like you are. Don't think about what they're saying. We're going to operate because the promise is in us. And we're going to continue to move as if the promise, we know where the goalpost is. We're going to operate towards the goalpost. We're not going to continue to allow what they say to swerve us anymore. So what we start doing, we start buying all types of baby stuff. We're preparing for the promise to be birthed. You have to anticipate what the promise is and operate accordingly, not according to what the naysayers are saying. You have to move in according to what God told you. God is birthing, trying to birth things in us, but we're allowing the external circumstances to deter our patterns. No, we got to stay steadfast in the promise. The promise is the promise, whether it's raining or sunny outside. The promise is the promise, whether I have a lot of money or no money. The promise is not based on me. It's not based on my natural abilities. The promise is based on him. And I have a God that can't fail. I have a God that won't lie. So if I know that my God won't fail and won't lie, I have to govern myself according with his character. But if you don't understand the character of him, you won't govern yourselves according to that character. We have to get to a place to where settling is not an option for us anymore. I'm sure when Daniel was thrown in the pit of lions, everybody around him was saying, oh, he about to be ate. But he went into there peacefully. He had a peace because he knew but the God who I serve is going to do what he said. He's not done with the call in me, so he's not going to allow me to be taken out of here. Don't forfeit the promises of God because you don't want to go through the uncomfortable seasons. My little baby sitting over there now. Not only was she born, but while she was still in the womb, she was prophesied over that she would be advanced. Because the call don't just stop with me and my wife. It transfers to her too. God has something on her life. But we had to be obedient because we had to show her what your obedience can come, what can change because of your obedience. Stop thinking you're being obedient just to receive something for yourself. God is trying to pass something down from generation to generation, but we have to be the one that stands up and start to walk right now. We have to be obedient. Our obedience is affecting her legacy. Our steadfastness is allowing her to walk into her promise. Even now, my wife was telling me yesterday how every time we take her somewhere, she draws attention. And we just like, there's a lot of beautiful babies in the world. Why do they constantly attract my child? And I told her, you know what? The call on her life is even bigger than the call on our life. That's why we had to go through. The enemy is more scared of her now. The enemy is scared of her. If we wasn't obedient, there would be no her. You think that we're, you know, terrorizing the devil? We can't wait to see what she's gonna do. But we have to be examples in our patterns, because if we're not examples in our patterns, we'll guide her the wrong way. We have to stop being so selfish when it comes to that. It's bigger than us. It's way bigger than us. And not only is it going to affect her, It's going to affect the people that's connected to her. So we have to be strong. We have to be steadfast so that when people see her and they want to be changed because of her, but if we don't do what we're supposed to do, she won't walk into what she's supposed to walk in. Let's keep going. I'm sorry. I got off track. But we really got to get this thing together. We got to stop allowing discomfort to sway us. Then the king went off to his palace, spent the night fasting. No entertainment was brought before him, and his sleep fled from him. Then the king arose at dawn at the break of day and went into haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel spoke to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crimes." In our lives, are we really holding on to the things of God? To the point to where when God delivers us, we know without a shadow of a doubt, it was God. Without a shadow of a doubt, Daniel was saved because of God and his patterns. We have to be fully persuaded in what we believe. We can't continue to walk around here as if, you know, this is just cupcakes and roses. The attacks is coming. The trials is coming. But there's a promise. He said, "I won't leave you or forsake you." He won't leave us or forsake us, but we can leave him. Make sure you stay in the course. Let's keep going. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he trusted in his God. Then the king gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them, their children, and their wives into the lion's den, and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. The traps that your enemies will set up for you will consume them if you continue to hold on to what God told you. The devices that they're trying to use to trap you up will trap them up. We have to also get to this place to where when the enemies come, we want God to put distance between us. We want God to just completely take them out. No, sometimes your enemies need to stay close to you. They were peers. Your enemies need to be close, so when they see God do something in your life, they'll know they made a mistake. We don't have to pay them back. When we operate in God, God will get the revenge on our behalf. Let's keep going. Then Darius the king wrote to all the people, nations, and men of every language who were living in and all the land, "May your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions?" Write this down. Others will boast and declare the goodness of God when they see the fruits of our steadfastness. Others will boast about how good God is, not because what God did in their life, but because what God did in your life. They will see our fruits. And they will see our fruits, and they'll know that God is real. I remember the first video that my wife posted, either when she was pregnant or when the baby was born. It was a song, I think, by Jonathan McReynolds. And it said, "May your whole life prove that God is good." When you're walking steadfast in Him, when your patterns are steadfast, your whole life will prove that God is good. Even in the even when it's negative, it will prove that God is good, because they will see what the negative things that happened to you. They will see all the things you've went through, and they will see where God has you now. So may your whole life prove that God is good. I got one scripture, and it's not on the screens. We're done. This is Galatians 6 and 9. Galatians 6 and 9. It said, "Let us not lose heart in doing good. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary." We have to get to a place to where we don't allow God, we don't allow the negative things in life to cause us to grow faint in doing the work of the Lord. Don't allow your patterns to be deterred because of hardships. You will receive the reward if you continue on. Your faith will be rewarded. We just have to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. For the last time, hang in there. Hang in there. Hang in there. Jesus. We're done. I'm going to pray us out. We're going to go home, and y'all going to hang in there all week. In the name of Jesus, y'all going to hang in there. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for renewing our strength. God, we thank you for correction. God, we thank you for your love. God, we thank you because you're God and you can't lie. God, we thank you because without you, none of this is possible. But God, we trust you. God, if there's anyone here that want to get their pattern started, Lord, give them the strength to make this first step of first accepting you. Because God, you're the one that will show them their patterns. You are the one that will lead them to the right side of the road. So if there's anyone here that wants to know God, just raise your hand. One of the elders will get you and take you to the side. Lord, we thank you for everyone here. Lord, we thank you for every hardship. God, we thank you for every dead moment, because every dead thing allows us to see the result is undeniably you. Lord, everyone here that's going through a dead situation right now, Lord, give them the faith, focus, and follow through to hold on. Lord, give them the strength to hang on in there. Lord, no matter how hard it gets, God, you told us, fear not. You've overcome the world. You'll give us strength to overcome. So, Lord, we thank you for strength to overcome. We thank you, Lord, for strength to hang in there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hope you all learned something today. I hope your strength has been renewed. And I hope you all conquer this coming up week. Amen. Fire.
Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. I know sometimes we're in a rush to get out, but at this time, if there's anyone who needs prayer, just to get strengthened, because something has been taking you out, and the word has came forth and has told you to hang on and hold on, don't lose that opportunity to allow someone to speak into your life. That's not abnormal. When the word has came forth to tell you to hang on, allow someone to speak a word of encouragement in you. so that this week will not repeat of last week. That's his word. If everyone will please stand. If you want to pray after we come back to our seats, just step over here and our elders and our overseers will take the opportunity just to pray with you. Amen. Everyone will get your giving in your hand. Thank you for that word, Orlando. Thank you, Elder Orlando. Thank you. Just to hang on. When our babies come forth, we're going to lead them first. We ask that you follow the lead of the hospitality team. Please come back to your seat so we may be dismissed as a family. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Father, first of all, we thank you for these gifts that you are giving to us, Father. We thank you for the givers, Father, that are represented in your name. Father, we ask that you continue to bless them. We ask that you continue to show favor on them, Father. And Father, we ask that the due diligence, Father, of their faith be shown. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Have an awesome weekend. Come on, baby.
Couple announcements. Monday, August the 22nd, we have our Songs of Solomon virtual session for engaged and married couples. See Chantrice, she's not here, so you can see Ganey if you got any questions. Also, reminder, convocation registration is open. There's links, you get the text messages. We have QR codes around. So if you get the text message, just go ahead. It'll get you all the steps to get in. Also, on Wednesday, August the 24th, we will be doing a food pantry in the Soda Baths, 901 Wilberforce. You can see Miss Robbie right there, Miss Robbie. Also, there's food produce downstairs in the basement from the food pantry, so if anybody wants some free produce, feel free to go downstairs, grab as much as you need. Coach and Roz and all them will help. So we got our back to school people, our back to school kids. Just continue to pray for all our kids, all the students from preschool all the way up to college. We just praying that God's hand and hedge of protection to be over them. All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Lord, protect us as we leave today. Allow your word to just transcend in our lives, Lord, and transform us and also transform others around us. Lord, bless us to have a safe week until we meet again, God. Protect us in Jesus' name. Amen. You all have a great week.
Marketplace Movement is still spreading the gospel virtually live every Sunday morning and Wednesday night. All you have to do is tune in during these times. So come and check us out and get the word on these platforms. Just download the Boxcast app on your Roku, Apple TV, and Fire Stick TV. You can watch us on your favorite social media or watch us at themarketplacemovement.online.church or our church website, themarketplacemovement.com/worship. The Marketplace Movement, where we continue to reach, enhance, and advance lives.